amazed. As I'll come in on a Sunday morning, especially this time of year, you know, I'll spend time preparing for a service. And of course, I always think of our congregation, our body, our city, but you never know who you're going to have. We have people from all over the world that just pop in. And this morning, I came in and the whole section was occupied with a family from Great Falls. I don't know what's going on in their lives. I've met some of you just in the last couple of days and you're here today and I don't know what's going on in your life. And so it causes me to stop and say, God, what are you doing? I like to have things planned out. I'm kind of like to know what's going on. But with the last couple of weeks, everything going on, you know, sometimes your brain doesn't work as good as you want it to. And I sat down this week and prepared, but I really put it in God's hands. I said, God, I hold this lightly. I think this is probably the direction you're going, but I'm not totally settled in what's going on. And so this morning, we're just going to kind of do a walkabout in that. I hope you don't mind. It's not going to be as maybe formatted as it was normally be, but I really believe that this is pertinent to the to just the message and the theme that God's been presenting throughout the whole service, through our worship team. I was going to say, after Cassandra got done, you guys don't need me. I could just turn you loose. You go to the lake. No amen, so I'm going to keep going. All right, yeah, you missed your chance. You be quick or be dead. So today I want to recount just some things, and it always has to do. Faith is alive. It's a living thing in us. It's a practice. It's a rhythm of our life. It's a confidence in who God is, and that's when David shared that, Hebrews 11:6, those who come to God must believe that he is. And that's where God stopped me. And he goes, who am I? Who am I? I'm above all. I'm second to none. There is no wisdom against me. I mean, the God of the universe who measures the universe between the span of his thumb and his little finger. It's the God we serve. And we can have a tendency to water him down and put him in a box. And God goes, I want you to know who you serve, because if you're going to come to me, you must first believe that I am God. You're not. I am. And my thoughts are so far above your thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And a lot of times you think you know what's going on, but really not much there, right? So I find that to be a reoccurring theme in my life. I have to revisit that often. And so today, I entitled this service, Eyes on the Lord, and we're going to get into it to a certain extent. If you hear part of this and you want to hear the rest, you can always catch these on YouTube or on our website. You can finish up this message. We're definitely not going to get through it today, or maybe you go, I heard enough. just move along. But I want to start out, and I want to present a word, and the word is relief. How many of you remember the Rolaids commercial? Okay, there's only a few. How do you spell relief was the theme of the Rolaids commercial, and I was thinking about that, and I want to tie that into some things that have happened over the last couple of weeks, because if it's not real and alive, and if I'm not putting my feet to it myself, then it's probably not worth me talking about. I don't want to talk about theories. I don't want to talk about people's ideas. I want to talk about real life, what we experience day to day, how God's working type of faith, right? Is that the type of faith you want? Is the type of faith I want. I want the stuff that works when I walk out the door, not just the stuff I talk about on Sunday morning. And so I want to talk about just kind of God and faith. To me, I define faith, my definition of faith, take it or leave it, is a confidence in God's character. That's faith. God, I trust you. You will do what only you can do, because you're God and I'm not. And I have a confidence in your character. You are good. We say it, don't we? God is good. All the time. God is good. We say it. But I don't know if it's totally settled down in here sometimes, that confidence in his character, especially when we begin to be squeezed. So relief. I would say relief is something I look for. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to wind that in. But I was kind of doing a survey of just the faces, and I was trying to decide if there's more guys and gals, because I want to know who might bum rush me if they didn't like the joke. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it. the way I would normally tell it. You can change this up and you can turn it around. Ladies, I want you to know that you're going to come out on the short end of the stick on this one, but don't hold it against me. You just take this and you turn it around and you go, I'm going to tell it the other way. So, I always, whenever I tell a joke, it's always a guy named Bob. I'm not picking on Bob, but I'm going to use Bob because it's easy for me to remember. The guy Bob is out for a walk one day, and he's just enjoying the beauty of all God's creation. And if you come up here, that's not hard to do. And Bob was crossing the highway, didn't pay any attention, got hit by a tourist. Bob's gone. Bob all of a sudden finds himself standing in the portals of heaven. He's looking around. He's like, oh my goodness, what just happened? This is amazing. And as he looks off in the distance, here comes the Lord. Here comes Jesus. And he meets him and he says, Bob. He goes, so good to see you. And Bob's like, oh my goodness. He goes, this is amazing. So much more than what I could have imagined. Jesus shaking his head. He goes, I know, but you're not supposed to be here yet. Bob, you weren't paying attention. He goes, I need to send you back. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. Bob's, no, don't send me back. Don't make me go back there. Lord says, I got to send you back. He goes, but because I know this is hard. He goes, I'm going to go ahead. You, anything that you want, I will send you back with. Anything you want, I will send you back with. Just as a way of easing back in. And Bob thinks. And he goes, well, Lord, you know, I love to golf and I love Hawaii, but it's so far and I hate plane travel. And, you know, you're always in these crowded things and it's just difficult. He goes, Could you make a highway from my house to my favorite golf course on Hawaii that I can get on any time and just go and play golf? Lord says, Bob, I can do that. I can do that. But do you know the logistics? Do you know the questions that I would have to answer? Do you know the prayers that I would receive? That's quite a request. He goes, isn't there something else? Isn't there something else that I can send you back with? Bob thinks for a minute. He says, well, you know, he says, could you help my wife to be nice to me? He goes, she's always just picking on me and egging on me. She doesn't like my clothes. And, you know, I don't always pick up. And she's always after me. And sometimes she says things to me I don't like. Could you just help her to be nice to me all the time? Lord says, Bob, about that highway, would you like 2 or 4 lane? Relief. We ask for relief. This week was at family camp. And a couple of nights, there was an evangelist, Donna Sparks, was speaking. Donna, an amazing lady. And, you know, when you go, I want to say something. When you go through something, and it doesn't matter what you're going through, we're processing through a stage of life where we're experiencing some sickness and some different things. But when you go through life and you are squeezed, what is in you will come out. Okay? When you experience the pressures of life and all of a sudden you have a bad attitude, the situation didn't give you the attitude. It's just what's in us comes out. It's kind of like a bug. If I put pressure on a beetle, we get these big black pine beetles around here. They got a hard shell, and you step on them, and they really pop under your foot. Pop! When I do that, I don't go, oh, look, the pressure made guts. No, the guts were in there. The pressure brought it out. And that's the truth of life. When we are in a tough situation, what is on the inside comes out, and God knows that. And that's why he talks so much in Scripture about refining of ores. Do you know how ore gets refined? We went to Coolidge, Montana, where there was the Elkhorn silver lode was there back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I found out, they have a stamp mill there where they would process the ore or start the process on the ore. And they would bring that ore out of the ground and they would send it down to carts and they put it in the stamp mill. And these great big steel stamps would just smash this ore into a pulp and then they would put it in this oily concoction that would kind of float the silver ore to the top, the finer stuff, and then they would put it in a cart and a horse-drawn cart, and from around Dillon, this is just reference point, from Dillon it had to go to Salt Lake City by cart. From Dillon, it had to be put on the train and it went to San Francisco. And from San Francisco, it had to be put on a boat and it went to England, because that was the closest silver smelter at that time. And they said that's why silver never got the attention of gold, because it was so costly to kind of go through the process. But, you know, when it gets to the refinery, then what happens? Then it gets the heat put on, and we are the same way. There is stuff in our life that has to go through the refining process. It has to go through the smashing. It has to go through the grinding. It has to go through the trip, and then it gets put in the fire. And in all of that, there's a danger that all we would ask God for is relief. Relief. So I'm in these services, and Donna Sparks is ministering, and I'm just kind of wrought up on the inside. You ever get like that? Kind of, I say frothy, get kind of frothy. And what she's saying is aggravating me. Because we say, well, you just don't know. You just don't know. Like, I've done that. I've prayed that. I've been there. I've heard this. I've already bought the shirt. It didn't work. Didn't work. And I'm sitting, but at the same time, I'm just listening. I opened my heart. I said, you know what, God, I know it doesn't do me any good to do this. Doesn't do me, the only one that pays for this is me. But God, I'm just listening. I'm just listening. Would you speak through your servant and speak to me? And so Donna gets to the end of the message, and here's what she says. Here's her invitation to the altar. Anyone who would like all God has for them, just come. And I sat there and heard the Spirit of God say, do you want all I have for you? And I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. He goes, well, get down there. Get down there. Now, I'm pretty oriented to results. Okay? And so when I went to the altar, I could have had the tendency, or so many times when I've gone before, like here's the hitch in the giddy up. So many times when I've gone before and I go to the altar and I get before God and I hear an invitation like that, come for all that God has for you. What I'm really looking for is relief in the moment, right? Because I got something that's in front of me that I'm dealing with, and I go, God, all that you have for me, whether it's in my finances, my relationship, my health, would start with relief right here, and then we can work out the rest. But that wasn't the question, was it? What was the question? Do you want all that God has for you? And can I tell you that all that God has for me goes so far beyond my relief? Because to have all that God has for me, there's a process and there's a refining process. And maybe what I need at this point isn't relief. Maybe what I need is the strength for the journey. Right? Right? And so it begs the question, do you want all that God has for you? Because it doesn't always mean relief in the moment. And so a couple of nights later, I think it was two nights later, or maybe it was the next night. I don't remember. Anyway, she was really ministering on just healing, God's healing and doing healing. And of course, again, just a little me inside of me is, you know, just some of it's questions too. Well, God, what about this? What about this? Blah, 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 blah. And it gets to the end and she makes the invitation. If you would like healing, and I sat back and God goes, because I have a specific thing in my life that I'm believing healing for personally, something I've struggled with for years, just in, and it's and the pressures of life can tend to make it worse. I mean, I've just struggled with depression, and I'm like, God, I want you to heal my mind. I want you to heal my heart. I want you to, that essence of life that just seems to fly away at times for no apparent reason. And I want you to heal me. And God goes, well, do you want to be healed? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, get onto the altar. So I walked down there. But how many of you can answer this question? When I walked down to the altar, what was I looking for? Relief. I was looking for relief. And so the next night when she said, if God healed you, would you raise your hand? Of course, I put the marker on relief. Well, I don't feel the relief. But when I went down there, And I prayed, I can tell you with assurance that God began a healing process that will be seen out, because he told me, if you'd like to be healed, get down there. And so I kind of had to step back and go, how do I reconcile what God says and what I experience? But God, in both of those situations, in no way offered me relief in the moment. He made me a promise for the best that he has for me and for healing. And I said, yes, Lord, I want to receive both of those. So I think it's so interesting that immediately on the heels of those, God began to deal with something. Actually, he was beginning to deal with it beforehand, and he started dealing with it. And we're really gonna go into that in Psalms 25. Probably not this week. We'll touch on it a little bit. But I want to take a little time for prayer at the end. So we're not going to go too deep in this, but I want to touch on it. So it was just kind of funny. Amy was giving me a bad time. We got to the end of Psalms 23. We spent 24, 25 weeks in Psalms 23. And so we got done. Amy goes, good job, Pastor Brenner. Are you going to start Psalms 24 next week? So I'm skipping the Psalm. I'm going to 25. We're going to spend some time there, but I have found in my life that as the pressures of life come and the issues begin to rise to the top, the heat or the smashing or the trip or whatever it is, things begin to come out, and I got to look at those things and go, yeah, those are mine. That's mine. I can point at you for bringing them up, but I can't point at you for putting them there. Those are mine. When I get like that, I have to make some choices. Because most often there's two things that I have to process through and deal with when life is hard and the squeeze is on and I'm in the process. And one of those things, and this is the one that God instantly began to deal with, and that's something I think we're going to spend some time on, is forgiveness. Dr. Pete Hartwig, who taught the Bible Hour, said something that just, it went straight to the heart. It was like an arrow that stuck fast. He says this, and I believe this. He said, forgiveness is the currency of the kingdom of God. He goes, it's not love, it's forgiveness. And I think that's interesting because scripture says, for God so loved that he did what? He gave us forgiveness. It's the currency, it's what's paid out. It's what causes the kingdom of God to move forward, and it's what Jesus taught his disciples. And as a rabbi, he said, right? He said, I'm going to give you a teaching, and then I'm going to live it out, and I want you to walk it out. And it's so interesting. I was pondering this morning. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was still their rabbi. He was still giving them an example. And what's one of the last things that he says before he dies? Father, forgive them. He was living out the example of forgiveness. And forgiveness is another one of those words. It's a word of 1,000 definitions. You ask different people, they'll give you different things. But I think the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness, what it should look like in our life. And it would be good to spend some time, because he said something else. He goes, if unforgiveness is present, you have disconnected the power of God from your life. I believe that. Jesus spoke so much about it. And I will say this, because a lot of times when we think of forgiveness or unforgiveness, we think of hot, mad, angry emotions. But I will say that unforgiveness can manifest itself in not dealing with an issue as much as dealing with it poorly. And so you got stuffers. I'm a stuffer. Like, I'll just go away. Okay, I'm not going to think about this anymore. Like, I don't like you. What you did was wrong. You're not going to ask for forgiveness, and so I don't even want to deal with it. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to say anything about you, good or bad. I'm just going to do my best to kind of forget about this. How many of you know that's not healthy? How many of you know that's still going to come out someplace? So not dealing with it is as unhealthy as the person that is obviously not forgiving, and you know it just by their disposition and how they talk and all this, because it's hateful, hurtful, angry. You go, oh, they're unforgiving. Well, so is the person over here that doesn't talk with it and won't deal with it. Right? There's a process, because forgiveness is not an event. Forgiveness is a process, right? And we can learn about that, can't we? How many of you would like to know more about forgiveness? I would, because it's more than just saying, I forgive you. So much more. Just like, right, when I received forgiveness from Jesus Christ for my sins, what did I enter into? A process. God said, I understand that there's going to be a working out in your life. That's why we're told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? It's a process. It's a process. I didn't get a certificate in the mail. And it's not going to be done until I get to heaven. Right? We're in a process. So that's one of the things that comes up. And another one of the things that comes up is I'm going to use the term fretting. Okay? So we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about fretting. And fretting is more than just worry. Fretting is worry in action. Okay? Anybody ever been in the spot and all of a sudden you're there for a little bit and it doesn't seem like you're getting relief? And so what you're going to do? I'm going to find my own way to get relief. That's called fretting. And if you go into Psalms 37, I can read to you. I've kind of skipped around and not done some stuff. But Psalms 37, verses 5 through 8 says this: commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing. And if you want to see a picture of fretting, go read Isaiah chapter 30. Okay, let me read you just the beginning of what God says in Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. That's what he says in verse 15 when he picks up. Again, we're talking about fretting. Fretting is worry in action. Fretting is, okay, God's not doing anything, I'm going to go do something. Okay, or maybe we don't even ask. It's just like, I see the situation, I know what needs to be done, and so we hatch a plan. That's what we call it. So look at what God says through Isaiah, verse 15. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. So there's the plan, right? Repentance. Repentance for what? Well, probably need some forgiveness and cease from fretting, I would guess. In repentance and rest, you'll be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you will be swift. Whew. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man, and you will all flee at the threat of five, until you are left like a flag on a mountain and a signal on a hill. Fretting's bad news. Bad news. Worry in action. In so many places in Scripture, we're told to wait on the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you go in the book of James, like I want to tear the first 7 or 8 verses of James chapter 1, right? I rejoice in these trials and tribulations, but here's what it says. It says, you will receive perseverance, and perseverance, let it have its perfect work, because you will be left lacking nothing. Nothing. Perseverance and fretting is kind of the opposite of the waiting and the perseverance. And so I just found I'm in this process, and God says, do you want all that I have for you? Would you like to be healed? I said, yes, yes, yes. And of course, I in my mind went immediately to relief. Relief. Okay, God, fix this, fix this. Guess what? God didn't fix either one of them. But is he faithful to his promise? Which means he has me in a process. And he says, all right, Brent, if you really want to find all that I have for you and you want to find healing for this, let's start here. Let me get the stamp mill out and let's break this down. How many of you know our hearts get hard sometimes? You want to know what God does with a hard rock? He breaks it up. Breaks it up. He's going to put it in the stamp mill. Let's kind of break this down. Oh, God, that's not what I wanted. That hurts more. That's not relief. That's not how I spell relief. Oh, God, could you make my wife be nice to me? Right? Let's change the plan here. Let's change the plan. God goes, no, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. So he begins to deal with forgiveness. And he begins to talk about fretting. And so I'm contemplating this. And of course, I'm becoming more aggravated because this is just pain on pain. It's like, God, I just want relief. I just want relief. And God goes, I know you want relief. But Brent, if we don't get down to the core issues, you're going to be back here. Do you want to be healed? Healed means get better. Healed does not mean relief. Because the healing process can be very painful. But I want the healing, right? And having all that God has for me can feel heavy sometimes. And that's why Jesus says, hey, come and learn of me. Like, my yoke isn't hard, but you can make it that way sometimes. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. And so I'm going through all of this, and I'm processing, and the blood pressure's kind of elevating, and I'm frustrated because I'm like, God, don't you know what's going on? Can't you see this and this and this? And I'm just trying to make it better, and I'm just trying to make it through. How do I do this? And the Lord spoke to me, and I'm gonna end with this, and it's really where we come to the title of the sermon. I want to read to you from the Amplified, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, and the Lord just spoke a section of this, but I want to read it to you because it is so pertinent to each and every one of us. I believe that each and every one of us deal with forgiveness and fretting on a daily basis. I think we are in a process where we are constantly having to forgive an offense. Whether it's somebody that cut me off in traffic or took my place in line or took the last donut at Krispy Kreme, I don't care what it is. You knew I was coming for that. Listen to what he said, because I'm asking, God, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? How many of you know pride is sneaky? Pride is sneaky. Oh, it sneaks in. Sneaks in. We don't even see it. And so God put his finger on something. Let me read this to you. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard. And here's what I heard. Lose sight of yourself. Forget himself in his own interests and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, confirm wholly to my example in living out and if need be in dying. In that moment, I said, God, how do I do this? And he just said, Brent, you got to lose sight of yourself. He goes, what are you looking at? When you talk to me about these things, when you come to the table to converse with me about these things, what's your focus? When you stand in the light of God's presence, he starts asking questions. There's no lying. Like, God, I'm the center of that conversation. What I see is me. What I see is my interest. What I see is my pain. What I see is my relief. And God said, you're going to have to lose sight of that. Because if you don't, you will never forgive. You'll never learn to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a healthy rhythm of life. It's like breathing. Really, I think it's something we might do that often if we're going to live in this world. It's not just an event that we do when we finally blood pressure hits the point where we don't want to deal with it anymore. We go, oh, I'm going to forgive them. No, forgiveness is, God, you've forgiven me much. And to whom much is given, much will be required. Forgiveness is this rhythm of life and this lifestyle. And God goes, how likely is it that you're going to participate in this rhythm if all you can see is you? All you can see is you. If all you can see is your pain. If all you can see, I'm not saying it's not real because it is real. But I can tell you in that moment that there was relief. You want to know why? I'd really entrusted him with it. Now, how many of you understand I didn't stay there? How many of you understand that when I left, there was times I had to say to myself, this is where forgiveness happens. This is where forgiveness happens. I'm not going to fret here. I'm gonna as we go through Psalms 25, and I made you promise I wouldn't start there today, so I'm not, but I'm gonna show you why these two practices are so dangerous. I mean, they are because scripture says they are, but in Psalms 25, we're given a picture and a promise. And I want you to see those. And so I wanna do this. I'll just let you know, we have food out back for fellowship, just finger snacks and light food. If you can stay with us, would like to stay, would like to visit, would like to talk to somebody, you are welcome to do that. Invite you to do that. Stay and get to know somebody. But I also want to say, because this is what I found, Pastor and Dr. Pete Hartwig did this one morning. He just stopped and he said, you know what? God's dealing with forgiveness. He goes, if you have somebody in your life you need to forgive, or you need to forgive yourself. He goes, I just want you to come and we're going to pray for you. And I would say the same about fretting. I want to be a pastor who just does what God's word says to do. I'm not fancy. I don't know a lot, but I know the Spirit of God. And I want to see the Spirit of God move in every life. Not because I'm smart enough to get them there, but because God knows how to get us there. But I believe this is one of the biggest roadblocks that we face. And so I would just say a couple of things. If you want the most that God has for you, everything he has for you, or if you would like a healing, and you can say, I'm not going to put my focus on relief. God, I'm not coming this morning to find relief. I really want those things. You know what they look like in my life. And God, if that requires the stamp mill and the furnace, I'm willing to go there. Or God, maybe I'm at the point where you're ready to draw me out. But whatever it is, I understand that the relief that I look for comes in the willingness, not in the act. Because I can tell you, nothing physically changed, but in my heart there was relief. And I said, yes, Lord, I have received what you have promised. And you will help me to walk it out. You have the power to do that. So this morning, I don't care what it is that you would like prayer for. Or maybe you just simply say, God, I'm struggling because my eyes are on me. And I just need to get my eyes off of me and lose sight of my interests and follow you. God, I just want to follow you. And I'm willing to lay down whatever it is I thought I was after and to trust you with it. And I'm just saying, show me your way, Lord, so I can follow you. I would like to pray with you this morning. I'd like to pray with you. I know this takes time. I know it's nice outside. I know that some people don't like to come. I'm inviting you. If you would like to come and you would like prayer, please come. Let's do it this way. If you would like prayer in any of those areas or any area for that matter at all this morning, would you just stand? Just stand. Just stand. Okay, I'm just going to give it a minute because Pastor Pete Hartwig did this. He waited to the point of uncomfortableness and people just kept standing because we all deal with this stuff, okay? If you would like to come and be prayed for, I invite you to come. If you are not comfortable with that, I ask you to stay. If you can't stand, raise your hand, and I would ask that the people that are around you would just gather. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Can we do that? Let's just do that. Look around you, right? The pastor doesn't have the power. You guys are the body of Christ. Gather around these people. Let's gather around these people. I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to stand there and pray with them. And I'm going to lead out in prayer, but I want you to pray as well. All right. Are you ready? You don't